the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, incarnated as Govardhan Hill. And how special the Govardhan Hill is to the devotees of Sri Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it tells us how one devotee once came from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri with one small stone from Govardhan Hill. Govardhan, or Giriraj, is none different than the body of Sri Krishna. And that Govardhan Shila was given as a gift to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so happy upon receiving it. He was receiving Krishna directly. Therefore, he wrapped that Govardhan Hill with string and he tied it to wear around his neck. And every day he would wear it constantly for a long, long time. And it is described when he would feel the sentiments of ecstatic love for Krishna. Overpoweringly, he would pick up that shila from his chest and he would press it to his forehead and to his eyes. And it is described by Kaviraj Goswami that 24 hours a day, that shila was constantly soaked with the tears of love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that Govardhan Shila as an intimate and confidential gift to his devotee Raghunath Das Goswami. And along with it, he gave him very, very special instructions of how Giriraj should be worshipped each and every day, with a certain amount of tulsi leaves, flowers, how to bathe it, and so on. And Raghunath Das Goswami, considering that Giriraj, his life and soul, worshipped it throughout his whole life. Jai Radha Giridhari, Raghunatha Prandanahe. It was the life force, the love of the life of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, who was one of the most principal and important of all the associates of Sri Chaitanya, he made his residence at Radha Kund, which is at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And there he spent many, many long years. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he also took shelter when he went to Vrindavan of Govardhan Hill. And it was at Govardhan Hill, near the Radha Kund, that he heard the narrations from Raghunath Das Goswami of the Leela of Sri Chaitanya. And it was at Govardhan Hill that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the greatest of all spiritual literatures for the devotees of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today in Vrindavan, on this very day as we are sitting here, there are tens and thousands of people that come from all around who circumambulate the Govardhan Hill with bare feet. Some of them do the Dandavat Parikram and some the Exowat Dandavat Parikram to show their great respect and love for the Lord who has so munificently appeared in this most unique and wonderful incarnation to show his mercy upon all. And our own Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he was in his last days of his earthly leela, you know, he left his body only 3 days after the Govardhan Puja in the year of 1977. He was so thin and he was in such a condition that it is his doctors and the devotees, they understood that he wasn't even supposed to move. He had to be carried if he was to go anywhere. But when he understood that the day of Govardhan Puja was coming soon, he was so overwhelmed with joy that he ordered his disciples that I want you to take me on that day for parikram around Govardhan Hill. And his disciples, they could not believe what he was saying. How is this possible? That you cannot even walk, you cannot even move. And the doctors say if you try to move, you will die. And Srila Prabhupada said, I cannot walk, but you can take me on bullock cart. And we will have kirtan all the way around Govardhan Hill. That will bring me great happiness. And the devotees consulted physicians and they said, he will die within the first 5 minutes. It is not possible. And the devotees were pleading with Srila Prabhupada, please, please do not go. We're begging you. If you go, you will die. We need you too much. Prabhupada said, why are you talking about death? Death will come, whether I go or not go. If I die at Govardhan Hill, that will be very auspicious. But I do not think I will die. Krishna will protect me. And he said, take me, that is my order. So there was great, great difficulty amongst the devotees. Some were saying, if he wants to go, you must let him go. That is his cherished desire. And others were saying, no, 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 we must show our love for him by keeping him from this great, great inconvenience. But none of the devotees could face him because he wanted to go so much to worship Govardhan Hill on this most glorious day of Govardhan Puja. So finally the devotees had to approach some of Prabhupada's godbrothers who are very dear to him because they could argue with him. A disciple cannot argue with the guru. It is a great offense. But a godbrother can argue out of intimacy. So they called one of his very dear godbrothers, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And he also pleaded with Prabhupada, and all the devotees were pleading with Prabhupada. And finally he said, if you want me to stay, I will stay. He said, I must be above and beyond any of my own desires. I must respond to the love of my devotees. So what makes it such an important event that we are here today to celebrate? The story is given by Srila Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There it is described that the Govardhan Puja has many very, very deep meanings. When Krishna performs a pastime, he has so many lessons for everyone to learn. It is described that after Krishna showed his mercy to the wives of the Brahmins, the yogic Brahmins in Vrindavan, he saw Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men arranging beautiful preparations for a big, big yajna. So Lord Sri Krishna asked, what is this that you are doing? To Nanda Maharaj, he said, what is this ritual? Who is it for? And what will you accomplish by performing it? This is very important. The first line of the story. Krishna disapproves of performing any ritual without a deep understanding of what you're doing and why. Krishna disapproves of religiosity based on superstition and vain tradition. Because you cannot put your heart into something like this. Krishna wanted to tell us all that if you are performing some ritual, if you're performing some religious yajna, you must know what it is for. You must know who it is for. You must know how to perform it. And you must also know what it is that you're going to accomplish through it. How many people today perform their puja simply to carry on the family traditions, or perform a puja because they're superstitious? They're afraid something may happen if they do not do it. Krishna was asking Nanda Maharaj, why? For who? And what are you doing? And then, because Nanda Maharaj was quite quiet, Krishna explained that, do you know that if you perform this yajna with ignorance, without understanding these things, then you will get no good result. If you perform it with knowledge, then you will get the result. So I want to know, what is this? And you should tell me, because I am an intimate family member, and amongst those who are highly qualified in religious life, they have no secrets from their friends and family members. In fact, such persons should have no secrets from anyone. Their lives should be like an open book. Here Krishna is instructing another great lesson, that we should practice what we preach. We should not have two lives. We should not have a private life and a public life. What we say, we should establish by our actions. Acharya means one who teaches the truth according to the scripture, and one who lives according to that truth. Such a person has no secrets, nothing to hide in his life. So Nanda Maharaj, he began to speak. He said, my dear Krishna, we are performing the Indra Yajna because, you see, we are cowherd community. We grow grains. We take care of cows. We are completely dependent on rain. If it does not rain, we will have no success in our life. And Indra is the devata, the demigod, who bestows, when he is pleased, rain upon the earth. So this yajna is meant to please Indra, so that he will provide plentiful rains. And then we will live a nice life in prosperity, and the cows will be happy. When Krishna heard this, he was looking at Nanda Maharaj like, is that the reason? I think, as far as I am concerned, Indra really doesn't have anything to do with it. Because, according to the laws of karma, if you act good, you will get good results. And if you act bad, you will get bad results. And Indra is simply the deliverer of your karma. So if you are performing good works, Indra has to give rain. And if you are sinful, Indra has to hold it back. It is something like, in the government, you have telephone, you have electricity, you have water. If you pay your bill, then you get the water, you get the electricity. If you don't pay your bill, it gets turned off. You don't have to flatter the minister of water, or the minister in charge of electricity, go and say, oh, you are a very great man, you are very wonderful. If you pay, he'll give it to you. So Krishna was explaining, if you just do good works, why do you have to waste all this time trying to satisfy Indra? It's like flattery. You're a pious man. He has to give rain. And then he explained that karma mimamsa philosophy. Krishna wanted to establish to his devotees that it is an offense to him in his presence to worship the demigods. That here he was personally living in Vrindavan, the supreme god of all gods, Parameshwara, and they're worshipping Indra for rains. Krishna explains in the Gita that the demigods, whatever they have, they're getting from me. And if you worship me, you have no other obligations to anyone. Devarshi bhutaptane nam pitranam na kinkura nayamani charajan sarvatmana yashranam sharanyam gathomukantam parijitya karatam. That all one's obligations to one's forefathers, to the government, to the demigods, to one's teachers, we have obligations to all of them. They are all automatically fulfilled when we surrender to Krishna. Because he is the source of everything. When you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is nourished. When you surrender to Krishna, when you please Krishna, the whole universe and all living beings within the universe are fully nourished. You have no other obligation. So Krishna wanted to show that if you are not my devotee, then it is your duty to worship the demigods because they are giving you so many benefits and gifts. And you are ungracious if you do not. But if you are my devotee, then all that is taken care of. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye shami ma sucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions, do not fear. So Krishna very, very cleverly wanted to dissuade from Indra Puja. But there was another reason. Because Krishna knew that Indra was very proud. You see, when Krishna appeared on earth, not everyone understood that he was God. Only those who had hearts full of true devotion understood that he was God. Others considered that he was just a very great, powerful mystic. But he was a human being, or some sort of demigod. But they didn't understand he was God. And even amongst the demigods in heavens, many of them did not understand that this Krishna was real. So Krishna knew that Indra was very proud. Why? Because he was in such a position of control. And in this world, it is very, very difficult to have a high position, wealth, beautiful looks, power of authority over others, and not become condemned by false pride. It's almost impossible, unless one really and seriously takes shelter of the lotus feet of the sadhus. It's not possible. So Krishna knew that Indra, although he was his devotee, he was intoxicated by his high position in the world. And because Indra was his devotee, Krishna was so merciful, he wanted to curb this pride. He wanted to purify his life. So Krishna simultaneously wanted to give pleasure to the Brijvasis. He wanted to establish to his devotees, there's no need to worship anyone but me. And he wanted to curb the pride of Indra. So he began to speak in such a way to convince Nanda Maharaj to stop this Indra Puja. He said, Nanda Maharaj, work is worship. If you just do your work, you're going to get the results. Whether there is a God or is not a God, it doesn't really matter. because God is subservient to your karma.
Krishna was preaching atheistic philosophy.
Huh? In fact, where do you think the atheists get all their arguments from?
You think they have the brain substance to think of it themselves? They get it from Krishna.
If you don't want to surrender to God, if you don't want to believe in God, if you want to be your own God, then Krishna within your heart,
sarvasya cha aham hridishani vishtoma tasmidirganam apohanam chahi,
he gives you just the proper philosophy of atheism to justify your position. And just to prove that, Krishna was preaching atheism. That maybe there's a God, maybe there's not a God. What difference does it make? If you do your work properly, the results have to come. So what is this wasting your time trying to satisfy this Indra?
And then he explained,
that according to the Varnashram system, if you just act according to your natural propensity as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, then all the needs of your life will be fulfilled. So just perform your duty, your cowherd man. And after all, where are you getting all of your gifts from? From Govardhan Hill. From the cows and from the Brahmins. Govardhan Hill is supplying grass. The cows eat the grass, give milk. And by the blessings of the Brahmins, they give us Vedic knowledge. So therefore, you should take all of these beautiful articles of paraphernalia for worship and worship the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. So because Nanda Maharaj and all the elder cowherd men, they loved Krishna so much that they had to do whatever Krishna wanted. They knew that Krishna was simply jokingly preaching these very, very bogus philosophies for the less intelligent people. But they didn't care what the philosophy was. They just wanted to please Krishna. And therefore, they said, yes, Krishna, teach us how to do it. Cook mountains of prasad. Make payasam. And make puris. And make halwa. And rasgullas. And gulab jamuns. And ladus. And chapatis. And rice. And sabjis. And dals. And make all sorts of nice cakes. Fried cakes. And cakes soaked in various milk preparations. And then all the stock of all your milk and all your grains. Make wonderful big offerings for the pleasure of the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. And then after that, let everyone in Vrindavan decorate themselves with the nicest jewelry, the nicest clothes, and then let us take the bullock carts with all the cows in front of us, and let us circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So they performed this wonderful ceremony. And how wonderful, as they were circumambulating Govardhan Hill, mountains and mountains of bhoga, wonderful foodstuffs, they were all chanting the glories of Krishna and Balaram. And after the ceremony was over, everyone was so happy, so joyful. And Krishna said, now with this prasad, make sure afterward that we must offer it very humbly to Govardhan. So as they were offering it, right before their eyes, the Govardhan Hill assumed a personal form. And this personal form grew so big
And it was none different than Krishna himself that assumed this form within the hill. And then Govardhan Hill began to speak that I am Govardhan. I am the Supreme. I have come to accept all of your offerings. And then right before their eyes, the Govardhan Hill, with great pleasure, ate all of the offerings. And upon seeing this, while Krishna was incarnated as Govardhan Hill, he was at the same time this 7-year-old little cowherd boy, along with the Brijbasis. And in order to teach all the Brijbasis, and in order to teach all of us for all life to come, the importance of this great avatar, Krishna himself bowed down and offered his obeisances to Giriraj. And all of the Brijabasis followed and did the same. And after Giriraj partook of all the offerings before everyone's eyes, again he gave it all back. Then Krishna explained, now we must distribute it to the Brahmins. And then we must distribute it to all other classes of men. We must especially sumptuously feed those who are very poor. And we must sumptuously feed the dogs, the cats, the cows, everyone. Let everyone enjoy the wonderful Mahaprasad of Sri Giriraj. And after this wonderful, wonderful feast took place, everyone was so happy. They all dancing in transcendental ecstasy, remembering Krishna in the heart of their hearts, returned to their homes. Everyone was happy except one person, Indra. Indra was thinking, where is my puja? He was told that Krishna took your puja and offered it all to Govardhan Hill. To Govardhan Hill? That was meant for me. For generations and generations and generations, all the forefathers of Nanda Maharaj have been offering me this sacrifice. I am the supplier of the rains. Who does he think he is? These Brijbasis? Rather than accept my supreme authority, they are accepting the authority of this cowherd boy? This ignorant, foolish, little talkative cowherd boy? They will be punished. He called the Samvantaka clouds. Please make room. And he called the Samvantaka clouds. They are not ordinary clouds. They are the clouds that pour torrents and torrents of rain to flood the entire earth at the time of the dissolution after the day of Brahma. And the Samvataka crowds, when they came, they were very frightened. They did not know who is this Krishna. But on Indra's order, he told them that you go to Vrindavan and you pour torrents of rain and you destroy all the cows, all the cowherd men, all the cowherd women. You destroy the entire community because they have offended me. They have neglected their vow to me. And I will be behind you with my thunderbolts on my elephant carrier, Airavata. So in Vrindavan, all at once these black, deep clouds started forming in the sky, and there was so much thunder and so much lightning and torrents of rain. The rains were not falling in drops, but they were coming down like pillars. It was like the entire ocean just falling onto the land of Brajadham.
and the winds were blowing, and the cows, and the gopis, and the gopas, they were feeling too much distress. Everything was being destroyed. They were soaking wet. They were freezing. Thunderbolts were coming in all directions, everywhere. They turned to Govinda, because after all, they were thinking he was just an ordinary little child. But when things became very, very difficult, they remembered what Garga Muni had said in the past, that any danger that you are ever in, Govinda will save you. So they all approached Krishna. May it kindly protect us. Indra has become very angry. So Krishna smiled, and he began to think in his own heart that my devotees, this is all my fault. I have angered Indra because he is so proud. His pride must be smashed today. Because he's a very big rich man and he has so much authority and power over others, he has become intoxicated. And I cannot tolerate pride in the heart of my devotee. Today I will smash his pride. Although he's an insignificant little jiva, like an insect, his pride has become like a Himalayan mountain. But today it will be crushed. So then he left his home and he ran to where Govardhan Hill was. And it is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that at the time when he ran out, how did he get there without getting wet? It describes that the Yoga Maya potency cleared the skies beyond Indra's control while Krishna went from his house to Govardhan Hill. So not even one drop of water was placed upon even one hair of his head. And then Bhagavan Sri Giridhari, with the left hand, effortlessly like a child lifts a mushroom, he lifted the Govardhan Hill. And he held it with the little finger of his left hand upraised. And he called out to all the residents of Vrindavan, please come. This is a very warm and dry place. You have nothing to fear. Come under Govardhan Hill and be happy. So they all came. All the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of cows of Nanda Maharaj. And all of the gopas and all of the gopis. They all took shelter under Govardhan Hill. And Krishna stood there for 7 days. And the Brijbasis, because they were so much struck with wonder at this beautiful pastime, and because Krishna's charming smile was simultaneously upon each and every one of them, they did not even think about eating, drinking, or sleeping. And when Krishna saw the great affection in which all of the cowherd men and cowherd girls were looking at him, he was so pleased with the Brijbasis that he did not even think about eating, sleeping, or drinking. So in this way, 7 days went by. It was an ecstatic festival of love for all of them. And when Indra saw that all of his power, all of his strength, and he could not even get a drop of water on any of the Brijbasis, he realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he realized, what a horrible, terrible mistake I have made. And he told the Samvataka clouds, you all stop, go away. And the rain stopped, and the sun came out. And at that time, Lord Sri Krishna, knowing the heart of Indra as the Paramatma in all living beings' hearts, he told the Brijbasis that now it is safe.
Now you can go away. Go back to your respective homes. There will be no more rain. So then they all left, and how happy they were. You may wonder, how is it possible, from a point of view of just practical physics and gravity, if all the water was going under this umbrella and they were standing under the ground, why didn't the water go in from the bottom side? It is described that by Krishna's internal, inconceivable potency, as soon as any water touched the ground, it immediately evaporated. So in this way, when they left, there was no water. And how happy they were. And Krishna put the Govardhan Hill back in its proper place. And it is described, everyone was simply going to whatever respective homes they were assigned, chanting the glories of Sri Krishna. And the young gopis, they were so happy because of their tradition of being chaste young girls. It was inappropriate for them to very loudly glorify the names of Krishna. They had to keep it secretly in their hearts. But on this day, everyone was glorifying Krishna. So they were simply, to their heart's content, just dancing, chanting the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. And Indra, the king of the heaven, knowing the offense he had committed, he came down and he placed his golden crown on the lotus feet of Sri Gopal. And he explained to Krishna that you are so kind, you are so merciful, you always protect the promise that you will never neglect your devotee. And because of my position as the ruler of all the demigods, because all living beings on this entire earth depend on me for rain, because of the wonderful palace, the beautiful wife, the wonderful luxuries that I have been given due to my post of the King of Heaven, I have become proud. And in my pride, my spiritual advancement has been blocked. And I have been so intoxicated by this condition that I didn't even know it. But your great mercy, your great kindness is you never forget your devotee. And you have curbed my pride. You have again reminded me that I am only the insignificant servant aspiring to be the dust of your lotus, at your lotus feet. And then the elephant carrier, Airavata, with the water of the Ganges, offered Abhishek Sri Krishna. That is why on this day, as you saw earlier, we perform the Abhishek ceremony for Lord Krishna. And then the Surabhi cows of Vrindavan, out of their gratitude, they also offered the Abhishek with the limitless milk that was coming out of love and bathed Krishna. In this way, the Govardhan Puja is celebrated in remembering the great kindness of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord upon the Brijbasis, to remind them that the topmost jewel of all existence was right amongst them. Why should they worship something or someone else? The lesson given to all devotees, that you don't have to approach anyone for anything material. Just please me, and your life is perfect. We don't have to ask Krishna, give me this, get me that, and can I do this? Krishna is within your heart. Vedaham samatitani bharatamanani charjuna bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows all your thoughts, all your desires. He knows all your needs. Do you think you need to ask him? An ordinary person, we ask for something because they don't know what we need. Just like a little child, when he starts to cry, sometimes the parents are bewildered. They don't know what the child wants. Does he have a rash? Is he having some sickness? Does he want milk? Does he want food? Is he lonely? Does he want attention? It's very difficult to tell. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is the perfect father. From within the heart, he knows exactly what all of our needs are at all times. So there is no need to ask Krishna, give me this. Can I get that? There's one question. My dear Lord, how can I serve you? How can I please you? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this prayer. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhaktir ahaitaki twai. I do not want money. I do not want even the most beautiful women. I do not want fame or distinction in this world. I do not even want liberation from the pains and sufferings of life. I only request of you one thing. Please engage me in unmotivated, in an uninterrupted loving service to you birth after birth after birth. This is the great prayer, which more than any other prayer will please Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, will he not give you what you need? Someone who doesn't love you so much will give you what you want, just to pacify you. But someone who truly loves you will give you what you need, even if you do not want it. Huh? If your child goes to a neighbor, the neighbor will give it what it wants. But the parent, if it loves the child, it may not give a child what it wants. Go to school. But I don't want to go to school. Go to school. Go to sleep. But I don't want to go to sleep. Go to sleep. Huh? Out of love, the parent gives so many things the children don't want, but gives what they need. So have faith. Krishna will give you what you need. And don't be so crazy to think that what you want is what you need. Usually it's just the opposite. That is why many people are afraid of Krishna. You see, when you worship the demigods, you can only ask them for material things. They cannot give you spiritual things. But what you ask for, if you do the proper penance, austerity, sacrifice, you pay the price, they give it. Even if it's not good for you, they'll give it. But Lord Hari, he's not like that. Hari is famous for taking things away. Recently I met one sadhu, and I was telling him about how our New Vrindavan community was becoming persecuted. He said, well, what do you expect? You're a devotee of Krishna. That if you don't want that, you should worship somebody else. Krishna will bring you to your knees until you say, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, only you can save me. If that's what you want, Krishna's best. If you want something else, but that will never satisfy you. Even to the Brijbasis, when the torrents and torrents of rain, thunder and lightning were coming into Vrindavan, they were scared to death. They were suffering. They ran to Krishna. Krishna, save me!
And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. You see Gopal, Srinathji on our altar. With a beautiful childish smile on his face, he is lifting the Govardhan Hill. He is in the Giridhari Asana. And he's simply waiting to do that same favor for us.
When the storms come into our life,
and they will, it is the nature of this world, there will be storms. Some days everything will be very nice and it will be like a sunny day, but some days it will appear that everything is against us, it's an impossible situation. What am I to do? Fall at the lotus feet of Giridhari and say, oh Govinda, oh Gopal, I'm yours. How can I serve you? Please save me. And then Krishna, as Giridhari, he will lift the Govardhan Hill of his mercy to protect us from all the miseries and sufferings of this world.